I think we're all in agreement, Rick Muscles, that there should be more outdoor gyms with weights, correct?
I cannot agree with you more. I mean, there's nothing like the sun glistening down on you and that natural sweat going back into the leather, you know, the vinyl covered cloth.
No, better yet. Better yet.
The incline bench press.
Right. The warmth of the sparkly vinyl covered bench, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? The vinyl covered bench that everyone's uncle had, right?
If it's 103 degrees outside and you lay your back when you have your sleeveless muscle top on, and it's that vinyl stings you, you know you're about to work out for real.
Remember, it's got to have a little bite before you ever pick up a weight. Remember, here at the Squatland Yard, the EDSBS workout annual, which that's not accurate at all. We actually do this like every 2 or 3 weeks, depending on our schedules. But if we believe in anything, it's that the pain should start before the workout ever does.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, for instance, this week I did some real stupid CrossFit workout on Monday that had a lot of sit-ups. And that was on Monday, right? And
yep.
I wasn't sore on Tuesday, and that's when you know you're in trouble. Because it means on Wednesday you're going to feel like somebody took a steak knife to your abs. And that's Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel right now. But that workout, as insane as would have been, it would have been better if it were outside. In Bangkok, in Lumpini Park, they have this massive outdoor, like, weight room. And I don't know whether it's private or public. Like, it's Thailand. It's probably sketchy, right? They're probably like, membership is a kidney and 50 baht a month, right? But it was amazing. Like, the only downside was that all of the, like, big gay dudes who worked out there were like, intimidatingly ripped.
Like, well, I'm sure they only like eat chicken shakes, so that's it.
That's it. They're just eating poundstone shakes, right? But with a little green curry in them. Let's be fair. This is Thailand. They'd be delicious. You'd be like, wow, I didn't think putting an entire chicken in a blender and liquefying it was a good idea. But then I had one made in Thailand. Mmm. Fantastico. Well, this is let's just call it the first summer edition of the Squatland Yard, and let's wrap up. Rick Muscles, you have completed the Muscle and Fitness Challenge. How do you feel?
I am beautiful right now. You guys would not believe it. I am ripped head to toe. I'm down to 192 pounds. My belts don't work anymore, and I'm stronger than I have been before when I started it. I'm glad I entered into this endeavor. And speaking of this, one of the great EDSBS commenters, Bourbon Meyer, has also accepted the challenge as well, and he's been shooting me updates about how he's doing.
How much pain is he in?
He's in very good pain. He's kind of taking an easy way out on it from what I've been reading about it. He's going 3 on and 2 days off.
Oh.
As opposed to 6 days straight. But we're still proud of him.
We are proud of him. Even if he's cheating. Maybe especially because he's cheating. That would be an SEC hallmark. Right? How do we lift? Cheating. That's how we do it.
It's 2 days off for the oversigning of weightlifting.
The oversigning of rest days. That's exactly what that is. This does lead to our point, though, that we happen to have an issue right now. We have a problem. You are currently without challenge, right?
Oh, my God. I'm just doing Tabata lines like a maniac, just aimlessly right now in my weight room. It is embarrassing. I'm just like, I have no direction. I don't have a purpose. I'm just humiliated right now. It's like all these guys are going to the gym and they have their impaired, you know, the, oh, I forgot my name for my, oh God, hold on. We might need to edit this.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't edit this at all.
I know. The Robert Jordan book, I made up a name for my weightlifting notebook and I had it ready to go and I just forgot it after the Wheel of Time.
Well, they all have those and you don't right now, right?
I'm so mad right now. I forgot my joke.
All right, you'll remember it, like, I guarantee you, a minute before this podcast is done.
I know.
But the point being, we actually are going to ask readers what you should do next, right?
We've got to figure this out. What is, like, the most brutal, nasty workout that I can do? The workout that you are scared, all right?
Can we have
the one that you've always wanted to undertake?
Can we have you? Well, let's see. Let's come up with a couple of those. Okay. And I don't mean just one. We're talking about a program, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, yeah. This, I want multiple weeks. Upsetting. One that are like, okay, I'm not comfortable giving this to Rick Muscles. Like, I kind of like him on the internet. He's kind of a nice guy. Don't do that. Just disregard me totally.
Because I have a suggestion.
Yeah?
I do. And it's pretty bad. A couple of suggestions. The first one would be that you just do a straight cycle of starting strength.
Well, yeah.
Which is...
That's kind of what I just did, though. But yeah.
Yeah, but you're squatting 3 times a week heavy. You were doing a lot of reps. So you're probably you're probably pretty toed. This would be pure pain. That's what you'll be working out 3 times a week, and that's it. And that's all you're going to have to do. And it's going to be a challenge. Another one, by the way, would be this. Can we have you – we'll link this so you can see it. Can we have you do the Colorado experiment?
Sounds like the Big Band Vader from wrestling would come up with.
Oh, no. This is so good. Casey Viator and Arthur Jones, high-intensity training. Okay, the Colorado experiment. All right? In a lapse period of 22 days. Okay?
Wow.
Where guys put on, all right, lost body fat and put on anywhere between 15 and 17 pounds of muscle. Okay, and that's and it's a lot of lifting. It's a lot. In fact, there were on these 22 days, they were 12 workouts.
Okay, that's probably more in my alley than the 3 days a week. But yeah,
122 sets were performed during the 12 workouts. Okay, 10 sets a workout. Okay, and of those 122, 54 were performed in a negative only fashion. All right, and it's really, really, really brutal. Okay, we'll get to that. But my nomination would be you run your own crazy Colorado experiment.
Yeah, I'm conditioned for that probably right now, to be honest with you. I'm not conditioned at all for the other one. Speaking of that, I was at a bachelor party this weekend, and guess what a military branch of dude I hung out with?
Who?
Rescue swimmer.
Ooh, man, was his back like the size of a billboard?
His back was all he does is work out. So he had these biceps that were like, that's all he's been working out since he got done with it.
Yeah.
But he told me the story about how he was, you know, they had to do the hangout underwater drills and stuff like that. He said that he had to go, they had him the snorkels on and they could barely hold it up. And they had 2 10-pound bricks in each hand with the flippers on. And they had to hold that for 4 hours straight.
What branch is this?
Coast Guard, motherfucker.
Oh, God. So you're trying to tell me that maybe they should have had a movie made about them?
Yeah.
Don't laugh at the Ashton Kutcher, Kevin Costner vehicle.
This guy was a house.
Wow.
Just no fat on him house. His heart must have been the size of, you know.
It like a racehorse.
You know, fists.
That is spectacular.
Yeah, he's about to become a PJ here pretty soon. He's leaving that branch to go be a parachute jumper for the Air Force. But it was legit hanging out with him. Just him telling his stories. I was like, seriously, saved anybody's life? And he's just like, lost some too, though, bro. I was like, holy shit.
My God. If I were thinking about, by the way, what if you had to do this, this is my favorite, like, guy question, you know? I'm not really, like, a guy's guy. You know, like, you read Bill Simmons and he's like, I like guy stuff. Yeah, I'm not – I mean, I like a lot of guy stuff, like football and weightlifting, two very sort of guyish things, right?
Sure.
They shouldn't be, though. I think we both agree that they should be universal, like, goods. Women and men alike, children, dogs, paramecia should really appreciate the values of both. But point being – one of the real guy questions I have, though, is that I know everyone has a branch of the special forces.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a branch that they're like, Yeah, man, I could do that. Now, you couldn't do any of them probably, right? No. Like most people me, I'd wash out, right? Like I could never be a Navy SEAL because you'd put my head 3 feet underwater and then knock the regulator out of my mouth and I'd just poop in the pool and weep, right? That's what would happen. But
I got real quick, not to interrupt you. My guy told me a story about how they have one guy who kept trying to quit.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, I'm going up, guys, see ya. And they would grab him and hold him underwater for like the next 30 minutes so he couldn't get back up.
No quitting.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, bro. Coming through this with us.
Oh, my God. That is, that's fantastic. I would say this. What branch, what special military force would be yours?
I would say the Army Rangers. But this is always my problem with joining one of the military branches, especially one that was like elite, is I would have to jump out of an airplane. And I am so scared of heights. It is unbelievable. I went to the Eiffel Tower one time in high school, and I had to walk down it because I got so freaked out. I couldn't wait on the elevator.
I would say this. I'm going to riverside you. I'm going to go ahead and say that would – I could not do anything with water because I think I'd just freak out.
Yeah, I can handle water. That's not a problem for me.
Yeah, but you know the Air Force parachute jumpers who go and rescue fighter pilots, downed fighter pilots?
Oh, sure.
I'd love that. There's just enough danger, like a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it involves heights, which I'm okay with, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you get to be like the nice guy, right?
Yeah.
You show up and you're like, hey, buddy, I got you, right? Like if you're a SEAL, you might have
you're
to
not
kick
capping anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it might be Osama bin Laden, but you know, you might kick down that door and you're like, boom. Aw, I had to shoot another guy. You know, Air Force rescue pilot, you might have to kill somebody, but you can just tell yourself they're all bad.
Oh, yeah. Another thing that I talked to him about is he was telling me about blood pinning. Like, I was actually was like, so you've been blood pinned before? He's like, yeah, but that's not shit. I mean, big deal. I was like, whoa, are you kidding me? If you don't know, blood pinning is the act of taking the medals that you've earned over the course of your service, and they take your shirt off. And instead of pinning it to your shirt, they pin it to your chest, like it's in your skin.
Yeah. And which blood, also known as blood wings, when you get your paratrooper thing. Okay. By the way, the one that I could never do as bad as like the SEALs, that's pretty bad. I could also never do underwater demolition, right?
Yeah, no.
Because you're working with explosives underwater. Like, just put those two explosives, comma, underwater.
Like, I'm the kind of guy that when I have something and somebody gives me something to do, like I could learn it pretty quickly, but before I learn it, I have to completely fuck it up first. Like, do the worst that you could possibly imagine. My dad's the same way. Like, when we first learned scuba diving together, my dad would always kill myself. So they gave me explosives, like, all right, guys, I got this. And I would go up there and wing it probably. And the next thing I know, I'd be losing, you know, my forearm. And you know,
I don't think
on the training mission.
I was going to say, when you're working with boat mines, right? I don't think you lose a forearm. I think you just lose. You know, the margin of error is none. Congratulations. Let's move on. You are obviously, we're trying to come up with a new torture for you. I have come up with a new torture for myself. And one that is potentially more embarrassing than anything I've done in a very long time. And that's, I'm going to run a triathlon.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to run a triathlon and I am going to do the Olympic length eventually. I have to do a couple of sprints first, but I'm going to do the Olympic length. And it involves three things I kind of hate: running, biking. I really don't like any of it, but it will get my now pretty blubbery ass relatively in shape. So I'm going to try it, and preferably I want to do one that's open water, as in La Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that and maintain my strength at the same time. I'm probably not going to be deadlifting 500 pounds anytime soon, but I'm going to try it. And the real upside and downside of this is at one point there might be a picture of me in a triathlon suit.
I got it. You know, a challenge to lay down to you on this too, as well. My dad was 62 when he did his triathlon.
I have to beat the 62-year-old man's time.
Not only that, 62 toss that a kip.
Okay, so, and Rick knows what he's doing too, because I'm really slow.
My dad, and he dragged his hip when he was pulling his forehand across. And that dragging the hip over and over again, he held the cartilage and all the muscle in his hips and things like that. And when I was my freshman year in college, I had to spend the night with him the night he got his hip replaced, which was so... He still squats. He does not change his lifestyle whatsoever. Everything you can imagine in the weight room, he still does.
Yeah, your dad's kind of a badass. You know that, right?
Yeah.
All right, so find out his time, okay? And we'll see. I have to beat whatever the 62-year-old badass with the prosthetic hip beat, right?
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I can out-squat your father. Now, I know he's 62. Well, he's older than that now, right?
Yeah, he's like 65.
Yeah, 65, and he has a prosthetic hip. I'd still glory in that over him if I didn't beat his triathlon time, because I have to feel good about something, right?
If you gave him 2 months to train and you challenged him publicly,
I wouldn't. I'm not that stupid. I don't want to lose a squat off to a 62-year-old with a prosthetic hip.
Banford to be on the Smith machine too, but I give him that because it's a prosthetic hip.
Okay. All right. So we're trying to the challenge one I've come up with, beat a 62-year-old man with a prosthetic hip. And challenge two is find something for Rick Muscles. Rick Muscles, as always, we are going to attempt to answer the readers' questions. So please, if you will proceed with questions our readers have.
One. Artie Boner asks, is it okay to train in tuxedo t-shirts to try and class up the place? Question B, once again, have you tried the Prowler yet?
I would say, well, yeah, I've tried a Prowler, to answer the second question first, and the Prowler is savage. It's awesome. It is wonderful. It is a really, really awesome thing. The only negative is that the city might complain when you wear tracks in the street pushing you up and down. As for the first question, I would be surprised if you didn't find your future wife if you were squatting powerfully in a tuxedo shirt, because that is indeed classing the joint up. What say you?
Well, let's see. Let me look at this question again. I have an issue with this tuxedo t-shirt question because the tuxedo t-shirt is not sleeveless. If it were sleeveless,
I was telling you, I would say, you know what? That's a great point, because I just assumed it was sleeveless. Like in my brain, you know, like in your brain, the little like platonic cartoon pops up, right? The ideal it comes up sleeveless, little tattered.
Exactly. If it's sleeveless, you're on point. No sleeves. You got sleeves on it. I think you're just a dude.
I'll agree to that. Have you tried the Prowler yet?
Man, we did a form of it back in college and stuff like that all the time. We used to strap on the, it's more like the Husky pull where they strapped on the vest on you and you had to pull it instead of push it. I've done stuff like that. I mean, it's, you know, if you're really interested in doing if you don't have a Prowler at your gym and you want to get like a cheap way to do it and you're not going to get the same pull and you're not getting the same push on it, get a towel. And if you're near a basketball court, get a towel out, put the towel on the ground, and just push yourself with your hands on the towel like that. That's a cheap ghetto way to do that thing. That's what I would recommend. You're not gonna get the same push, obviously, but you can get get a lot stronger doing it just like that.
I would say this. Try the Prowler, because what really changes the entire dynamic of working with it is the shoulders, the fact that you are either that you're pushing it or that you can pull it. That's really what changes everything about it. Because the vest, that sort of straps to your body and you can just kind of use your body weight to sort of start it. The Prowler just doesn't move unless you are committing everything you have to it with the right amount of weight. Okay, next question.
Okay. Randolph Muscles, my parody feed, asks, does it bother you that the circumference of your thighs will never be the size of my heart?
No, man, it doesn't bother me at all.
Doesn't bother me one bit. Everybody knows I have a black and shriveled heart. There's no doubt about that at all.
Yeah, that's yes. And I understand if you're a warm and emotional person, good for you. But when the great hunger comes, those of us with cold hearts and steely eyes, steady vision.
Yeah.
We're going to
get real funny, Randolph.
Yeah, we're going to be pulling you guys along.
Okay. Let's see. Mr. Pelican Pants, a long time EDSBS commenter asks, are there any new supplements that have come out on the market that work as well as creatines besides HGH? You know, I'll be honest on this one. I'm not a big supplement guy. You know, and if I were to honestly do supplements, I'd probably do a fat burner before I did anything else. I've always been really shy about doing creatine. I did it for a year, and I got to be the strongest I've ever got in my life. But...
yeah, I mean, I think your best supplement is food, right? Like your diet. That's the
rest,
right?
Water.
Yeah, that's good. Those are nice. Sleep. Yeah, I mean, sleep's really good. I would say this: the best ones for me, because I don't like using a lot of supplements, right? And that's pretty obvious by the way I look.
But, yeah, me too.
But really, like, they're expensive. If you are on a limited sort of time frame when you work out, it doesn't make much sense to just cram a bunch of shit that you don't even understand. That's the other thing too. You should probably understand, right, what mm-hmm. something is doing if you're mm-hmm. going to put it in your body, right?
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say another thing too is, you know, if don't take supplement advice from me and Spencer.
Right. If you're interested,
this podcast is about making going into the gym a lot more fun. I think that's more the point in terms of, you know, than anything else. Like, you know, read up on it and make sure you know what's going in you. And if you have any problems or anything like that, you know, you might want to consult a doctor. But, you know, like stuff like putting upsetting things in your body.
Right. And to keep it simple, in other words, to follow the simple but fun message of this podcast, have some coffee. Maybe a Red Bull. Some wacky stuff in there. But, you know, have some caffeine before you work out. Have some caffeine during your workout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have some whey protein shake afterwards, right? Some delicious knockoff brand that's probably loaded with Chinese heavy metals, right? That's all mm-hmm. that's all fine and dandy. But in terms of messing with, like, off-market creatine, in terms of messing with, you know, things that mess around with arginine or arginine, however it is pronounced, right? Like no explode, hemodilators, things like that. Let's face it, you're probably not working out at that level. Unless you are doing some serious powerlifting or, you know, figure competition, you're not going to have to work out with that. So in other words, we will say the best supplement is a smile and maybe a little bit of creatine.
You know, I don't take fat burners for real.
Hmm.
Same reason I can't drink like a Red Bull and vodka in public is because like ephedra and stuff like that gives me a panic attack.
You see, it doesn't do that to me at all. Like I can pour uppers and speed into my body all day long. All right.
Yeah.
But for instance, we have a reader whose name shall go unmentioned, who's big into what I call Jacked, and what if you read it is called Jack 3D. Okay.
Yeah. He discussed this with us on this podcast and wanted us to ask about it.
Yeah. We were talking.
Once again, he will go unnamed.
Yeah, he will go unnamed, but his name rhymes with Urido Urders It's. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. You guys need to talk about Jacked. You need to talk about Jacked. And I was like, did you take Jacked before this conversation? Maybe. It's really just an upper. It's just a spectacular collection of uppers, which does make it dilate your blood vessels. Right.
Okay. I'm accepting the challenge. I'm going to take some before I work out on one of these workouts, and then we're going to tell you guys about my panic attack.
No. I don't think you need to induce a panic attack. Seriously,
you'll give me a funny story.
You'll have one. If you want to put yourself through the panic attack, you know you're going to have. You go right ahead. Okay.
Like there'd be some like old lady in the gym be like, I really need to talk to you about this girl.
You'll be driving home, a cop will pull you over. He's like, do you know how fast you were going? He's like, is the car on?
I didn't do anything to you, officer. Why are you bothering me?
I have problems. I would. I think I should be the one to do this because it won't affect me the same way. I weigh a little bit more, and I don't freak out.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, I freak out, but it's like a charming freak out.
How about we both do it?
Okay.
Okay. Let for so sometimes
we're both going to do it. We're going to report back all about what Rito Spirit says.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go back and we'll report on Jack 3D. Yeah, I'll do it and clean the house as the contents of the nation says.
I'll do it right before I'm going to go to an indie rock concert.
I'll do it right before, like, you know, bench, like deadlift day, like bench deadlift Friday. I'll do it before then. Next question.
All right, I got a great question from Atlanta native and buddy of mine at GTice4. He wants to know, what are some good lifts for a beginner to start with?
Oh, man, the classics.
Yeah, I know, and I love that question.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you should find, if you don't have somebody who can actually provide quality instruction, and this may sound silly and indulgent, but if you can, to learn the weights, you know, find a trainer who, you know, has a strength certification, a real one. Like, find some, you know, do your homework and find somebody who knows how to do these lifts, right? A real strength coach, and they'll coach you on how to do them properly. It might cost a session or two. It would be worth it. And the lifts that you should learn at the very least, right? The pull-up is slightly intuitive, but it's a basic element of strength. But the big three are your squat, your deadlift, and your bench, right?
Yeah. And I take this for granted, I think, when I deal with a lot of you guys. But, you know, I did deal with professional strength coaches for 10 years of my, you know, from age 14 till age 22. That being said, You need direction on how to do it. There probably needs to be running coaches these days for all these jogger guys out there. Because, you know, from the research that we have right now and the injuries that runners get, they get hurt running. The most natural, you know, what are the most natural things you can do with your body? I'd maybe get a book if you don't feel like, you know, shelling out for this.
Videos. Seriously, you can.
Videos.
If you look at any of Ripito's videos, seriously, Mark Ripito will have, he has 30-minute long videos about the proper form of the deadlift. It may almost be too much, and probably is, but that's the point, right? Go to the Starting Strength Wiki, find proper squat form, get it, and just begin working on that start light, and then build up from there. Get the right equipment, get lifting shoes. If you're really serious about it, get a pair of weightlifting shoes and get a belt.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, you know, don't get a gym membership and don't start on throwing on two plates on each side and trying to rep out. I mean, you know, even a bench press, I know a bench press looks simple, but, you know, I've been working out with my dad since I was 13 years old, and we still, well, you know, when I see him when I go home, we talk about ways that we can get our bench press better because both of us have, you know, just bad issues about impingements and things like that in our shoulders. And we compare notes and talk about, like, how can we make our bench press safer with, between the two of us? I mean, it's just something we always do. And, you know, that's 30 years of weightlifting between two people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And really, other than learning the squat, learning the deadlift, learning the bench, and getting a nice effective pull-up in one form or another, that's really all you're going to need to build a really good strength foundation. Now, note, I said strength foundation. If you're doing this for beach muscles, you got all kinds of stuff you could do, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But if you're interested in just getting strong because you haven't lifted before, then that's what you want to focus on. And less is more. Can't say that enough. Less is more. Don't burn out. Less is more. You can get a really mean strength base lifting three times a week.
Yeah, just catch that guy that one time. Do those two, you know, do a week, you know, do 4 days straight with the personal trainer. Get that out of the way. If you don't have a bro that you can go to the gym at work or just know a guy around town, just knock that out. I know it's sort of embarrassing and emasculating. Get over that immediately because that's not the point. But just learn it, figure it out, and then go in the gym and just, you know, make it your craft and work at it. You know, I think that's just making an effort into it.
And
it's always the best thing.
I only have one rule on trainers, by the way. All right.
All douchebags. What?
No. All right. If you're going to hire a trainer to do strength work, and he pulls out A, a Bosu ball, or B, he tells you you shouldn't squat, you should leave.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're with the working with the trainer and you're 1 foot on the Bosu ball, 1 foot up, the Bosu ball, that's great for like if you work out a lot and you just need to switch something up, that's fine that week. The Bosu ball, you're not as strong on the Bosu ball, therefore you can't build as much muscle, therefore you can't lose the weight, and you can't get stronger. So you're losing yourself in both ways. If you just need a break for a little bit and try something different, that's fine. But it's not a good long-term fix.
Yeah, seriously. Look for a trainer with a thick neck. Male or female. Either one works. Do we have another question, Rick?
Oh, we sure do. Michael, the G1, he says that I'm coming back from a type 1 AC sprain. Should I modify my squat technique to take stress off my shoulder? Second question, less serious. When did old dudes blow drying their balls at the gym become commonplace?
I think that's just a matter of you noticing it. I think that's always been old dudes blow drying their balls. That's America.
Yeah, old dudes are going to do some gross shit at the gym, and we just need to get over that right now.
Yeah. Michael,
you're not getting strong without being grossed out by an old guy from time to time.
It's going
to
happen, right? Because you'll be that old guy one day. And I don't know what it is. Maybe when you turn 70, you just realize you're like, hey, blow drying your balls feels great. You should do it. Screw you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll try it next time I'm at the gym. I'll let everyone know. We'll do the jacked experiment. I'll train for a triathlon, and I'll blow dry my balls.
I'll blow my balls, too. We'll come back. We'll come back,
with notes. Right. I would say this, that it really depends on your – we don't know his bar position, right?
No, we need to see you squatting, to be honest with you. I have an answer for this, but
yeah,
go ahead with
I mean, we don't know it, and I would say – let's go with your answer first, because you might say what I'm going to say.
This is what I would do before you do anything. I would probably – before you actually put weight on your back, real weight, I would probably put on, like, you know, I got a feeling you've written in this podcast before. I got a feeling you could move some pretty good weight. At the same time, there's always a quick fix if you really want to get ready to squat or not and keep the weight off your shoulders. The weight belt that you use when you do the dips, you can always use that weight belt. And what you do is instead of putting it back on, you know, like you do with the dips, is you just put a little bit of weight on there and put the dip weight amount on there, and you stand on two benches, put them close together parallel, and just squat in between it and don't use any of your shoulders and pull the weight up, you know, that way. You're not going to put any, you know, there's not going to be anything bad that's going to happen to your shoulders or your back or anything like that way. It's going to be a total thigh workout. I'd start up that way and make sure, you know, your legs get stronger. Keep on making sure you do the leg press because your upper body is not going to be affected by the leg press. And then what I would do is work my way up, you know, squat the bar a couple times and things like that, and make sure your shoulder's healthy before you do it, and then start doing it. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know your bar position, and the bar position has a lot to do with it. I would go by feel on a very lightweight, right, and see how it is. If you're a low bar squatter, right, that might be trickier than you would think because it's resting on that muscle, which is, you know, anchored right there at the shoulder. You know, chances are for a while there's going to be some discomfort associated with squatting, whatever. The only thing I would tell you is go by feel, bar position, right? If you're a high bar squatter and it really hurts, then certainly don't low bar squat and don't front squat whatsoever.
No, uh-uh. You stay away from that.
You're done. I mean, you, as far as for the moment with front squatting, you're going to have to wait a while. You know, six weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it takes. It might be a while before you do it again. Nothing wrong with just going over and working the leg press and doing lunges. That might not, you know, that might not feel as cool, and it isn't. But it might be what you have to do with injury because injury, remember, is a natural consequence of an active lifestyle. I tell myself this 2, 3, sometimes 5 times a year.
I like your point about lunges on that too. That's an excellent point because you could lunge with the squat position on it with the bar, and it's really not going to affect your shoulders. I mean, you're really just holding that in place at that point.
Yeah, or you could
that would be
or,
a good
or holding,
thing
you,
to do on it.
You could hold barbells, and I guarantee you, if you do 2 sets of lunges a week with heavy weights held in your hand, your ass is going to be on fire. You might not be able to do another set in the week.
All right, next, we're moving to the next question?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. My good pal, at Razor Hamon, he asks, he also tells Burrito Brothers shit that three scoops of Jack 3D made me feel like guy from Wanted. should we, like, maybe we should call Jack 3D and see if they're going to shoot us over the shift the old sponsorship right now.
Yeah, let's just, yeah, exactly. We're telling everybody how it makes me feel like the guy from Wanted. I feel like James McAvoy curving a bullet. I can't wait for this experiment. Was there? A, I'm sorry. Was there a
conversation gets better. I take all my supplement advice from a Canadian ex powerlifter, Barclays trader who looks like Sabretooth. He approves.
So there's no real question. He just wants us to know he's awesome.
He's got a good question, though.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you feel about plyo work, especially jumping? Feels like the results. Embarrassment ratio is off.
Well, yeah, he's right about that.
I don't agree. I could love my Saturday workouts. I used to have my Saturday squat day was a big thing for me, and I've been doing plyometrics since the first day I started lifting weights. This is one of the first things that people like have me do. I've always loved plyometrics. I think that's really interesting. Weightlifting is probably the next step. You know, that monkey bars trainer guy is obsessed with plyometrics, you know, and he got 7 inches on a guy on an NBA player, I can't remember exactly who, without touching a weight, just on place on plyometrics. You're gonna hit your shin from time to time and fall. I mean, that's, you know, but you're not making yourself an ass of yourself in the weight room. What's the point of going in the weight room?
Yeah, I would say this. I plyometrics are, I think, are really good finishers to workouts if you're doing serious strength training.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's especially now box jumps are so common that if you're worried about the gain to embarrassment ratio, box jumps and squats are a great combo for increasing your vert. All right. If you're in some sort of position to do that, right. I'm so unathletic that that's never been a goal of mine. I just do box jumps because they make me breathe hard. Right. But, they are fun. I will tell you that, especially when you get to, like, you know, moving up your height.
Yeah. And
we're all about fun. I mean, they have a lot of really, really good benefits, but at the same time, box jumps, it's fun to just sort of edge up the bar, right? Like 20, yeah. 24 inches. 30 inches, 36 inches, right? You just keep going up, 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 up. You know, it got to the point, like, where I was doing a lot of those in CrossFit where you were like, can I jump on this bar? I think I can finish my beer and jump on this bar, which I never did because I'm smart and not dumb.
I think the coolest video ever from the draft was when that – I can't remember. It was the guy who he got drafted by the Titans. I think he went to, like, one of the weird cow schools, like UC Santa Cruz or something like that, and he jumped out of the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, that was cool. I mean, like, if somebody could do that, get that video up for us because we need to see that.
And remember that Adam Archuleta.
Oh, God. He was the craziest weightlifter.
Yeah, but he, before he ever did that, he did a rough plyometrics workout with, I believe, Marv Marinovich for years and years and years and years. And he still holds the record for incline reps with 225. So. Yeah. Plyometrics will make you burly. I will say this, an all plyometrics workout, i.e. P90X. P90X has a ton of plyometrics.
We're going to discuss P90X, by the way.
And it is boring. Boring as hell after a while. So that's the downside to plyo. Also, repetitive use injuries. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a ton of plyometrics, that's an issue.
This would be like when I do plyometrics, I do my leg workout on Saturday. And then I'll do just one last set of 10, jump in the highest box I can. And then I walk over to the racquetball court, and I'll do, like, a set of 5 broad jumps. And then after that, I'll just go, like, try and see if I could stand on my hands or not for a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you want, like, a real quick training workout, right, that involves plyometrics, and you just see, okay, how many of these can I do in – so much of a time, right? There are some really good CrossFit workouts, actually, that are all plyometrics and just involve, like, air squats, pull-ups, and push-ups. That's it. Like, that's all they involve. And they're brutal. absolutely brutal. So you can peruse some of their ladies' workouts. And I don't say ladies in that they're designed for ladies. No, they're named after ladies, and they're absolutely brutal.
Okay. At Schlongeberger, he asked, your take on cardio before lifting, or lifting before cardio, or no cardio? This is my take on that. Doesn't matter. You make that choice. If you're tired of lifting weights first, then go ahead and do your cardio and try and get pumped up or something like that on the weights and things like that. I don't think that's a great idea if you're really trying to build muscle. If you're trying to build muscle, you've been working out for a while doing it, I would say keep on doing, cardio after weights. But if you get tired of that at some point, go ahead and change that. But keep it up. I mean, do you see my point I'm trying to say?
I would go a slightly different answer, right?
Yeah.
And again, for the 11,000th time, we will repeat, we're not experts. By the way, going back to your previous question, if you want a plyo workout that'll just tear your ass in half and will completely finish any workout you're doing, Cindy is 10 minutes, as many reps as you can of 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, and 15 squats. As many. 10 minutes would be half. If you're an idiot, you'll do 20. But just do 10 at the end of the workout if you're convinced, if you're plyometrics won't do anything.
Yeah.
No, that'll burn your ass. I would say this. It really depends on what your goals are, right? You shouldn't be doing a workout without a goal. You shouldn't be doing a workout without a goal randomly, right? Random is not good. You need some sort of target that you're shooting for. So if your goal is to do distance or do speed, then I would say do cardio first. Warm up properly, have some sort of target that you're shooting for, and then afterwards, sparingly, do strength work, right, if that's your goal, right? If you're a runner, lifting 2 times a week is going to be a lot on top of your running. However, and you shouldn't neglect that. I mean, I think runners should lift 2 times a week.
Sure.
Right, because it's good, it's injury prevention, it's building leg strength in a way that running won't, and at the same time you're gonna look pretty nice. The other thing is, if you were working towards strength, or you're working towards physique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then cardio is gonna be kind of secondary. It really will. It's gonna be a way of eating up calories and burning fat. So what I would suggest for anybody who's doing that, just make sure you walk an hour a day and then keep your cardio real short at the end of the workout. Short and intense, somewhere between, Justin Lasik's guide is, somewhere between, 5 and 12 minutes, maybe 5 and 10 minutes. Something really brutal, really short that makes you say, I'm done at the gym.
Sure. And that circuit training is a good way to do that too. Also, if you're going to cycle and you're going to lift weight, you have to do deadlifts. Because if you have if you can do deadlifts, a good weight, then you don't have to stand up on your bike to get up a hill.
Right. That and squatting, cyclists and especially, skiers, we don't deal with a lot of skiers, but skiers definitely have to do some kind of leg work. Otherwise you were going to be looking at an instant ACL injury sometime in the very near future.
I remember my name for my weightlifting book, my weightlifting notebook that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be called Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Thigh.
I was going to do the Italian version and have The Bridge of Thighs.
I can't wait till the Robert Jordan fans start listening to our podcast, because they'll come out like one out of every 5 friends that I had ever were the biggest Robert Jordan fans. I never could figure it out. Oh, you got to read Robert Jordan, bro. But they would never they kind of keep it a secret. Oh, you read? Just check this out and kind of slip it to you. It's like the Dune fans. Have you ever read a Dune joke on Twitter?
Yeah, you'll get a really, really awesome series of replies.
Yeah, if you ever write a Dune joke on Twitter, like 1 in 20 will give you the best reply you could possibly imagine.
1 in 20. It's the other 19. That's really...
You're like, oh, this guy.
I would also go ahead and go with if you're talking about just have a goal. Before I forget my total train of thought, it depends on your goal. You need to have something you're working towards, right?
Yeah, this is probably why we probably need to start switching these questions over to my Gmail account, but we will handle that down. It's like, just like, this is my goal, this is what team I'm a fan of, this is what liquor I'm drinking tonight, and this is what I want to look like or something.
I would, do we have another question?
Yeah, we definitely do. Okay, at Law Smith 34, one of my favorite comedians, period. He's excellent. He's an Auburn fan from Florida. If you ever like Google Law Smith, I strongly recommend it because you can get some funny little shit off her, especially Funny or Die. He asks, do I need a ponytail, handlebar mustache, and or a tattoo with flames to rep four plates on each side?
Four plates on
your best bet on that one.
Four plates on each side is 405.
That's right.
Right, with a standard weight bar. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessary. I don't. I think if you're above 400 pounds on any lift, I mean any, you can wear whatever the hell you want. That's it, because that's when it, I think in my mind, I think of 400 pounds as being like, that's the Rubicon, right?
Yeah.
That's when you've become someone who does not fuck around.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you got the ponytail, and when you see a guy in a gym with a ponytail, you know that guy's strong, right?
You hope.
Yeah, but you see the handlebar mustache, and you know that's a classic strongman. Only classic strongmen have a handlebar mustache, but they really couldn't push that much weight back in the day, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would say this. You must respect the handlebar, mainly because I have one right now, but still.
Yeah, but he's like, if just not to say you have a gross body, but most guys, most strongmen with the handlebar mustache don't have the best body.
No, they might be strong, but they're just strong. Yeah.
And then the tattoo of flame, there's no way. Nobody with a tattoo of flames is that great of a weightlifter. Because if you're that obsessed with your body, you don't get tattoos. So in my opinion, I say you got to get the ponytail just to reason that out.
Yeah, I would say this. I think all are good. None are necessary.
All right. My pal, who I get yelled at constantly on Twitter for being friends with, at Morning Vent, he asked the best exercise to put a killer peak on my biceps. I'll tell you the bicep workout, like the bicep lift that's got me. If you want the peak, the middle of the bicep, the behind the back cable curl is probably the best bet on that one. That's going to hit your real bicep the best. All true, like regular Olympic bicep lifts are always going to hit the front and top part of it, like the front crest of your bicep. So I recommend doing behind the pack cable curl. That's my recommendation on that one.
I will tell you Arnold Schwarzenegger's favorite bicep workout, and it was the concentration curl.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, the concentration curl was what Arnold cited as that which allowed him, with the power of his mind combined, to create the Alp-like peaks of his biceps. So if it worked for him, I would say cool. I wouldn't follow his advice on home labor management. But I would definitely consider concentration curls to be an excellent old-school way of doing things. Also, hey, don't forget chin-ups.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
With the palms facing you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna look good doing that. There's no doubt about that. All right. At Josh M. Morris says, maybe my favorite question of the night, maybe the most interesting, maybe the most controversial. Is P90X legit?
We've discussed that, haven't we? But
you got close to it.
Yeah, let's get close to it, because let's start off by saying this. The question, does it work, doesn't really apply.
No.
Do we both agree that question is sort of invalid?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are you trying to do? Right? That's always the question. What are you trying to do? You should answer that question before you do anything. Rick Muscles, what say you about P90X?
I say P90X is fine. However, you actually have to do P90X for it to be worth a damn. You want to do P90X a week, you're going to get 1 week of P90X results. I don't agree with the, like, a lot of the things don't sound fun to me in terms of weightlifting. The other question that you have to ask yourself after you spend the $270 or something like that, that can you can spend at a decent gym for a membership for a year, is what do you do after P90X? Also, it's you know, like you mentioned before, there's some repetitive injury issues and things like that. If you think that you sitting in your living room and jumping up and down and stuff like that is going to get you in shape and you can actually follow the program, I'm all for you doing it. However, you always have to ask yourself, what am I going to do next? Do I have a long-term goal and things like that? If you just want to get cut a little bit and lose a ton of weight and you're willing to do it, I'm all for it. Go for it. I think you'll be fine. But I don't think it's the best way to build that. I don't think that's the best way to get in shape.
Yeah, I would worry about this. One, the workouts are long. I mean, they're really, really long. And you can do them at home, and I think that's one of the things that really appeals to people.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, oh, well, it's cheap. Well, I don't know. If you add on all of the – if you add on the initial expense, it's not going to go much more than, you know, a lot of, like, six-month, five-month gym memberships, right?
Yeah.
So that's one issue. I mean, I think it works. And I know people who have lost a lot of weight and they've gained a lot of tone, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a lot of people get really strong on it.
Yeah.
That's one issue. You'll learn to do a pull-up. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's yay. You'll learn to do a lot of push-ups and a lot of air squats and you'll sweat a lot. But that's working out a lot. That kind of, you know, that really does defeat the less is more rule.
Yeah.
For me. Also, there is the issue of, yeah, what's next? You know,
yeah.
Like, you should be doing something for a goal. What is your goal? And then when you get to it, you should set another one or else you're going to regress.
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, but if you're going to spend that money, like, do it every day and follow the program. Like, don't, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well, you can't do anything about that. Like, that's...
Yeah. If somebody
buys it, that's on them to do it. But, you know, the real question we can address is if somebody is going to do it, they're going to go through it, then what are the positives and negatives? The positives are you're going to learn to do a lot of reps, right? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get really strong? Is that your goal? If so, there's probably other ways to do it.
All right, next question. This is one of my favorite questions all night. At Jim Coffer, at J.M. Coffer, that's J.M.C.O.F.E.R. He asked, is North Alabama gasoline a performance enhancer? Well, do you know what North Alabama gasoline is, Mr. Hall?
Methamphetamine?
No, actually, it's something I invented. It's called the it's Copenhagen mixed with Mountain Dew.
I would say that you being the expert on this, I'm going to turn the question over to you.
Yes, it is, indeed. If you go to the gym and you roll in there and you take a pull of the if you have a giant little – I'm not saying this for health reasons, but if you want to enhance your performance, I would absolutely recommend a big old pull of Mountain Dew and a big old thing of a big old hog of Copenhagen Long Cut. I think there's nothing wrong that will happen to you for the next hour or so. I feel like you're going to be in the zone. It will help you out, especially with listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd. And
I'll just say this. Listen, Alabama doesn't win football national championships without the power of Copenhagen, okay? Because that whole staff is dipping.
that little Debbie.
That and little Debbie get them through the day. This will be our final question if we have one.
Okay. At TWESQ, he asks, what's the proper etiquette for my excitement boner that occurs just before I max out on bench?
Dude, that's not an excitement boner. If you do have a boner, oh, man, this is why you need a weight belt.
Yep.
That's why you need a weight belt. You just move the fat part of the belt over the boner.
And you know what? Don't sit here and lie to me and say, well, weight belt isn't going to cover my boner. Okay, if it isn't, you don't need to be talking to us. You need to be making pornography. Okay? That's what you need to be doing. That's what you're on this planet for. Okay?
I would say... I know this dude to know.
No? Okay. Yeah. What you do is you put the weight belt over it, right?
Yep.
God, come on. You're a grown man. Can't handle a boner. Come on.
Oh, man. I used to, like, when I was 22, the excitement of, I used to get a little thrill. Not a real thrill, but a thrill of that second squat of the week when I was still sore from the first one and that squat again. That's probably upsetting.
Yeah, but, you know how to deal with it, right? I mean, yeah. Really, there's a couple of different techniques. But, you know, if you're working with something where the shirt's not going to be laying on it, under the belt, shirt goes over it. That's the way it works, okay?
You should be well adverse in hiding a boner.
Right. You don't just want to put that out there. You don't. And I will also say this. Don't wear boxers if you're going to bench, okay? No. If you're
going
to squat.
Don't wear boxers, period, because if you're going to squat, they're going to rip anyway if you're going to.
Exactly. You really, yeah. If you're doing it right, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if your trainer's like, hey, don't squat deep because you'll hurt your knees and you'll tear your boxers, fire that trainer, right? Please. But you shouldn't wear boxers, period, but especially not when you're going to bench, because it doesn't matter. At one point, I'm going to look over, and I'm going to see your balls and your dick.
Look, no, because that shouldn't happen either, because if you're a true weightlifter, you only wear one set of underpants. There's only one set of underpants, period, acceptable for weightlifting, and that's a jock strap. Underneath your 100% cotton shorts. You got that shirt, you're going to get a rash, but that's, you know, to be expected. However, that should be your weightlifting attire. 100% cotton shorts made by Russell Athletic with the jock strap, with the breathable air holes for you. You're going to be okay if you do that. You're not ripping anything, and everything's going to be safe, and no bro's going to see your bro business.
When Stephen Crane wrote, right, the Red Badge of Courage, he was referring to jock strap rash. That's
what, yeah.
That's
jock itch.
Yeah.
You're gonna get jockeyed. That's just you know, you play the game, you're gonna get bit a little bit.
That's life. You're just gonna deal with it, right? And plus, it keeps me putting on my weightlifting shoes on the bench from not even intentionally, right? No jock peeping, looking over and staring into your third eye. I don't want that. You don't want that.
Nope.
Or maybe
we are gonna drop our balls. We're gonna blow dry our balls this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying all of this, and I'm also saying at one point I'm gonna blow dry my balls. It's just gonna happen. Excellent. All right. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Inspiration for this week, Rick, and then we will be done.
Oh gosh, my inspiration for this week. There's no doubt about it. The Alabama weightlifting coach. It's just nonstop his greatness. I mean, his insaneness, his lunacy, following him on Twitter, it's just been the best thing ever. Like, I just need that every single day.
Because he doesn't talk, right?
You just go, yeah, like that. And that's it. That's all I really need.
He just yells at people.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no conversation. There's no deep thought. I mean, we're not over here arguing some Dostoevsky or anything like that. We're just going, yeah, like that.
Oh, God. I was really thinking about guys who I was like, yeah, that's the guy. And I'm going to have to go with Marius Pudzianowski this week, who, not exactly an underground pick because he's a multiple World Strongest Man winner. But consider the following facts about Marius. Marius, one, has tested positive for steroids numerous times. Two, which, you know, you're trying, man. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Two, he's Polish. I like Polish people.
Sure.
Probably vodka. Likes. Yeah. That's how ethnically sensitive we are. Polish. Vodka. That's it. I will also say this, that he is a boxer in his spare time, which is the scariest thing I could possibly imagine. His workouts, if you look them up, are epic and include a deadlift progression which would leave me dead halfway through. He is. He also has a band. No, seriously, he has a band. Okay.
Electropop.
No. They're rock.
Oh, it's supposed to be dubstep.
Mariusz Puzynowski doing dubstep would be absolutely like him doing Stones. Oh god, that'd be fantastic. But in addition to that, when asked what he consumes during his workouts, right? Because he trains twice a day, 5 days a week. Okay? Think about that. That's how hard this dude trains. Twice a day, five times a week. Okay? For instance, by the time he gets to his... he'll do the sandbag carry at 100 the afternoon session for strongman. This is after a full weightlifting thing. He'll do the sandbag carry three times, 170 meters, with 130 kilos on his back. Then he'll do three sets of 2.5 revolutions on Conan's wheel. Which, this is awesome that he has, like, a Conan's wheel just hanging around.
I have one in my backyard.
Three sets of tire flips. All right, which that tire is going to be like 700 pounds. And that's, you know, that's the afternoon session. But this whole time he's eating candy. That was what he said. He says candy is very important to me when I am working out. Which means that at one point in history, some poor fucker has walked into the gym, right?
Yeah.
When Puzynowski is like deadlifting 700 pounds five times, three sets across, right? And some poor fucker has gone, hey, look. Candy. And just picked up, like, you know, the Jolly Ranchers that Marius has, right? And then at one point, Marius has gone, where are my Jolly Ranchers? And I just wanted to see that happen. So for all of that and for his overall brawn and because he has a band, Mariusz Puzynowski will be our inspirational figure of the week. What did you learn this week, Rick Muscles?
Well, I'm just glad that Mario's has buttressed my dad's belief that after we work out, that I have to eat a handful of gummy worms and then eat as much protein as possible within the next 2 minutes, because that is the thing that he believes in and that I have to do when we get in his Lexus after we leave his gym.
I've learned that Coast Guard rescue swimmers, a little harder than I thought.
Yeah, they are.
All right, with that, I am Spencer Hall, a.k.a. Orson Swindle, and I've been joined by Rick Muscles. Final words of wisdom?
Go ahead and just follow Handsome Rick on the old at Rick Muscles Twitter feed. We'd love to have you.
He is Rick Muscles from the Rick Muscles Twitter feed.
Good old Handsome Rick.
That's what they call him in Kuwait.